Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The Lord is good, and we are blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. It's so good to be here this morning. Amen, amen, amen. I want you to stand to your feet and turn your Bibles to Isaiah 55 and verse 11. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh this day for your word. Your word that we can believe in, that we can hold on to, that blesses us and keeps us and strengthens us. We thank you for your word. Now let your word do in our hearts this day as only you can. We thank you in advance for how you shall speak to our hearts, encourage our hearts, and inform our minds. Now thank you for this opportunity. For these your people who are here today to hear from you. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Isaiah 55 and 11 says, and matter of fact, let us read together. Beginning now, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please in the thing whereto I sent it. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I want to talk about the power of the word of God. The power of the word of God. This word that Isaiah speaks about before us today is a word that should help the believer understand God's mindset concerning his own word. How God himself has vested himself in his word. how he has confidence in his word, how all that his word is indicative of him, how this word that God speaks, and whether it's the particular text that we're speaking from today or any other of his words, it is all representative of an awesome and powerful God. God just doesn't say things that don't mean anything. God just doesn't deal in meaningless and trivial words. God has a purpose and a plan whenever he says anything. And when the people of God can grasp how God feels about his word, when they begin to understand what God means as relates to his word, then I believe it will open unto us a whole new level, not only of understanding his word, but operating in his word. One of the things that you've got to know is that next to God being present, the power that he's invested in his word represents him. So in other words, if you've got the Bible, whether it's in your hand or in your heart, you need to know God is present in his word. Jesus said, if you abide in my words and my word abide in you, you can ask the Father whatever you want, and he'll do it for you. Why? Because God is held by his own word. He is under warrant to back up what he said, not what I say about it, what you say about it, what others say about it, but what he says. And that's so important for the believer to grasp that, because one of the reasons why we perish is not just for a lack of knowledge, and that is so true, but because a lack of belief. We just don't believe God's going to back up what he said. And the reason for that is many of us have not experienced the true God in his truest form, and for us today, that is in his word. The enemy tries everything he can to keep us from the study of God's word, be it in devotion, be it Bible study, even on church, in church on Sunday mornings. He tries to keep us away from that word that feeds our inner man, that enriches us and strengthens us and builds up our most holy faith. The more we get into that word, the more the word gets into us. And the word creates the change in us that God wants us to believe, God wants us to know, and how God wants us to act. And so when we begin to understand that, it makes all of the difference in the word. If we back up to verse 10, he makes something clear to us. For he says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven. Listen. And returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. Now, there is a purpose, and I want you to see some things. So let me stop here for a moment and help you understand some things. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow, both, the word says, from heaven. Now, there are two things I need you to know about that. Both, it's talking about these, the rain and the snow, being seasonal and sectional. Because there are some parts of the world it just don't snow in. There are some parts in the world where it doesn't rain much. And yet the earth is watered between the rain and the snow. The purpose is still accomplished, whether it comes through raindrops or snow melting. Listen, God makes clear that he takes care of his own. And he says, it watereth the earth. Now there is a reason why it waters the earth, so that it will bring forth and bud. Bring forth and bud. What is important about that? Because the rain and the snow that melts, that waters the earth, causes the seed to be able to germinate and have necessary to activate all that is in the seed by the refreshing of the water. The seed can lay in the ground and nothing happens until the water hits it. And when the water hits it, it gives the seed the notice that it's time to start budding and blooming. And so you got to understand that the seed is timed to the rains. In the old times, they said, and even in modern days in farming, there is the early rains and then the latter rains. Yeah, and in between those, the snow falls. But between it all, God's got it all covered. But all of it is designed so that at the right time, it will cause the earth to bring forth and bud. Once it bud, it blooms. Listen, and what's important about understanding that after the blooming process comes the blossoming process. All of that is designed from the rain and the snow, listen, that comes down and never goes back up. Listen, it comes down, but it never goes back up. Why? Because it has a purpose for coming down from the earth. And here's something else I think you need to understand. Because of what it is, the liquid refreshment, the signaling of time for seed to grow, for the earth to receive and yield her fruit. The thing that is important about the rain and the snow that waters the earth is that when it goes down, starts the process, the water itself then grows into the vegetation or the fruit. So that the water or the rain or the snow that's melted becomes the liquid or the juice in the vegetation or the fruit. Now, here's what I want you to know. It comes down, never returns up, but that happens in it causes that it's in to change and yet become all that it ought to be because God designed it to be that way. Now, I'm trying to get somewhere. Just stay with me here. So when you begin to see and understand that it happens so that the sower can have seed and the eater can have bread. It all happens at the same time in the same process. And if the harvest is really plenteous, they can even store up some stuff for when the season passes. You used to hear old folk talking about canning this and canning that. They called it, preserves. And what was preserves good for? For when your taste buds wanted a fruit or a vegetable that was out of season. All you had to do is go in your pantry, your cupboard, and pull out one of those old mason jars. Might have a little film on the top. You take the fork and scoop it off. And all the rest of the stuff was preserved. Are y'all going to pray with me here? In the bottle. Look at what the word of God says. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void. So what does it say about the Word of God first? That it's powerful. His word, listen, goes from his mouth. Now I want you to stay with me here. But it never returns void. Or it never returns like it left. Listen at me well. Whatever he says, and if I need pass back by Genesis 1, I'll take you there. That was nothing, void, darkness everywhere. God spoke the word. And when the word got through working, it didn't come back void. Everything he said, he saw, and it was good. That's powerful. From nothing, out of nothing, with nothing, all he speaks is his word. And the word is so powerful, by the aid of the Holy Ghost who creates everything God says, those words become the blueprint for the Holy Ghost to operate in his construction business so that it looks like God said it was going to look just by what he said. So after God gets through saying it, when it's through, it don't look like what he said, because when he said it, you couldn't see it. But when it's finished, it looks like what he said. Lord, I wish I had someone today. So his word, write that down, is powerful. That's powerful when you can say something when there is nothing. From nothing, out of nothing, to nothing, and it becomes something. I don't care what you say. No. That's powerful. But look at this again. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not." Look at the absolute there. It shall not return unto me. For do you know when God speaks a word, his word is so powerful, the words are scared to come back here to him unproductive? The words say like, no, we can't go back to the Lord now after he done spoke us out looking like this. We've got to make happen what he say happens. The words won't come back to him void, empty, vain, unfulfilled. The words shall not return unto him void. But it doesn't stop there. It says, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And that's purpose. God's word has purpose. But it shall accomplish that which I please. Listen, you might not like it. But that ain't what it's designed to do, to please you. It's designed to please God himself. And see, that's why you got to understand about the word of God. And you can't use the word of God like you're trying to use it for your own self-aggrandizement. You got to understand his word is for him. And when we yield and when we bend and when we bow to his word and align ourselves with the purpose of his word, then we please God. See, a lot of us read God's word so his word can please us. And we cherry pick God's word. We find stuff that we like and stuff we want to hear and stuff we want to see. And we start quoting that. But we don't know that many of those words are tied in with conditions, which literally means that something else has to happen other than just you wanting it to happen. It's not your will. But his will be done.
If his only begotten son Jesus recognized that God's word was purposed, then when he prayed, "Oh my Father, in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it be possible, listen now, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Why did Jesus preference his prayer by saying, "Not as I will, but as thou will"? Because he knew God had a purpose for sending him and a purpose for sending his word. And so Jesus addresses God in prayer, listen, understanding that if God didn't change his mind, then give him power to go through with the plan. You see, a whole lot of us don't want to go through some of the stuff we've got to go through. But we ought to at least have sense enough to be real with God and say, "Lord, if it's possible, if it's any other way, we can prove we belong to you. We can prove we are who you say we are without having to go through all of this stuff. Let us do it. But if not, your will be done." Now, this was the Son of God asking his Father for an alternative plan to Calvary. But if God didn't see another way other than the way that he originally planned, and listen at this, even in the flesh, Jesus was cognizant of the fact that God says, listen, he is the Lord. He changes not. Jesus knew he wasn't going to change. But it didn't hurt to ask. Because the flesh was being real, that helps us to understand there's nothing wrong every now and then with saying, "Lord, this is hard, this is tough, this is rough. Help me if you can. Lord, maybe I got it twisted. Maybe I don't understand what's going on here. But if this is what you want me to go through, give me strength to make it through. But if not, then I got enough of this. And let's change this situation." And so here is Jesus saying this to his Father. But because it was purposed, his word was purposed, the record is he acquiesced to his Father's will. And the record says that God sent angels down. Sent an angel to strengthen him. And say, may I tell you, my brothers and sisters, God may not change your situation. He sees what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. He hears your prayer. But here's what you don't know. He's given you enough power to go through it. You can take it. You can make it. You can do what God says you can do. The word that's in you is purposed. It ain't all about you. God put his word in you to give you the strength you need and to make you the example. And so you got to go through it, not for you, but for others who are watching you, and for the fact that God's word is purposed in you. Listen, so his word is purposed. Somebody say his word is purposed. But it's not only purposed. Look at what the word says. The last part of that says what? Come on. And it shall what? Prosper what? In the thing what? Whereto I sent it. Now, here's something else that I want you to hear and hear me well. Not only is his word powerful, and not only is his word purposed, But I not just get ready for this, because it just blew me away when I understood it in the revelation of the text. But his word is prosperity programmed. Y'all fooling me. Y'all don't get that. I said his word is prosperity programmed. In other words, his word don't know nothing else but prosperity. To prosper in the thing. Wait a minute. And it shall prosper. Here's that word shall, that absolute again. No question about it. It's got to do it. It's got to happen. Can't change its mind. Can't change its course. It's been programmed to all it knows is prospering. Bringing to pass what God said. It don't have another choice. It don't have another mind. It's programmed to prosper. Man, do you know what would happen to your whole experience if your mindset was programmed to prosper and you won't let defeat come in it? You won't let failure come in it. You won't let waving the white flag come in it. You won't let surrender come in it. You won't let the fact that the enemy is coming against you come in your mind. You know that you are prosperity program.
That's all right. That's good.
I'm going to win no matter. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but I'm going to win. It may be the nine count, but before 10 is said, I will get up and be the winner. I may be knocked down, but not destroyed. I shall win. His word on the inside of me is prosperity program. Now let me just back up just a little bit to help some of you understand this word more thoroughly. And it shall prosper in the thing. Put a pin right there. Now, do you know why God's word don't work in some things? Because that wasn't the thing he sent it to work in. Let me kind of help you out a little bit here. You remember Abram before he became Abraham, and Sarai before she became Sarah? God told him he was going to give them a male child. He was going to give them a son of promise. From the time God spoke that, 14 years had passed by. God hadn't produced the son through Abram and Sarah. So Sarah, recognizing the great shame that was upon her husband because she was barren and couldn't produce a son, thought that she would help God out. But God had already said that she, Sarah, was going to bring forth the son of promise. But she somehow let reason get the best of her. Well, now let's reason this thing out. First of all, she was already past menopause when he said it. So naturally, all the reproductive cells had already given their resignation notice. If she had had 25 children already, her body had already said that enough is enough. So it was already past time when she got this word. But God said it. And along with that came a question. Is there anything